world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night here until 10 on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment radio that knows what the hell it's talking about. And truth is our bitch on his show. It's good to be with you here from our Hendry Radio Broadcasting Complex, the El Pacifico. Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard here with us. And the news that has been most frequently commented on, I would say, news out of the main of just everyday life is this situation in Nairobi. Nairobi, Kenya, where a gun battle inside a shopping center has left dozens of people dead. Gunmen attacked the Westgate Center, one of the city's most exclusive shopping malls. And we do have some audio from a BBC reporter who was at the scene outside the mall as the military was moving armored vehicles into that area. And you're going to hear this young woman doing some broadcasting. She's going to be doing some reporting, and then you'll hear the order to get down or to take cover from the military.
We have seen many people, casualties. We've been asked to lie down now. I've got to lie down. We don't know what's going on.
Where is it?
We're just hiding
in Nairobi.
You can't see me on camera now.
What,
we've just
it's
had to lie down.
Man.
There was
Take
an order
easy.
There as the military armored vehicle moved towards the area of the building. Now everyone is lying down. We don't know what is going on. We're just waiting.
Would you guys forget the peanuts and listen to what?
I can see some helicopters now coming closer to the building, flying over the building, lying down.
I like the Spanish peanuts.
From my position, I can see now people running around.
Hold on for just a second here. Started the show. You know that, don't you?
I know that.
Well, forget about whether he came in with Spanish peanuts or not.
They just like the Spanish peanuts because they're funny.
They're funny?
Yeah, he thinks they're funny, man, because when you go... Well,
yeah, they don't digest.
Oh, that's great, man. I got a story here out of Kenya that has to do with hostages, and it has to do with a lot of very serious stuff. Do you mind?
I'm sorry, I didn't know...
When it says
we have
on the
seen
air,
many
on the
people, casualties. We've been asked to lie down now. I've got to lie down. We don't know what's going on.
How come she's lying down?
Shut up.
We're just hiding behind. We can't see me on camera now, if it's still on. We've just had to lie down. There was an order there as the military armored vehicle moved towards the area of the building. Now everyone is lying down. We don't know what is going on. We're just sweating.
Well, she's lying down one more time. I think
some
I'm
helicopters
gonna...
now coming closer to the building, flying over the building, just lying down. From my position, I can see now people running around, not sure what is going on.
Anna, are you safe to continue reporting there?
What is going on here?
Are you safe, Anne, to continue reporting there?
I beg your pardon?
Are you in a safe enough position to continue reporting?
Yes, I am hiding behind what seems to be like a barrier, and I'm lying down, which is the order that we have been given. I can continue reporting to you from this position.
And are you hearing anything? Are you hearing gunfire, or what is going on?
No, I can't hear anything other than the order to lie down. I can't hear anything. More shouting now from that general direction. I don't know if it is the military officers shouting, or every now and then when they need to clear the road for an ambulance to pass, we have heard people shouting to clear the road. I can't exactly tell what they're saying now. So it's a very
tense
situation.
We've been playing for you for a couple of minutes here, the reporting of Anne Soy. Anne is with the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation. She's a foreign correspondent, obviously, and she is in the Kenyan capital of Nairobi reporting on the attack on this mall in Nairobi, and the gunmen who, by the way, are now waging some kind of a social media war with the authorities as to why this entire thing has taken place. Don Berman is, and Margaret, you wanted to...
Well, I don't want to interrupt Don, but just what I was listening to, and I'm sorry that you felt it necessary to mention that Robert came in with a can of Spanish peanuts.
Okay, I understand. Let's just move past that.
Well, it makes me sound unprofessional.
Okay, but you were reaching for the Spanish peanuts instead of
Man, plus what I said about them not digesting.
What about them not digesting? I really resent that.
You're the one that goes on the bathroom.
That is the most vulgar...
All right, what is that? Do we have to talk about that?
You're gonna eat a Spanish peanut. I'm the guy who gotta go in.
You gotta wipe the inside of the bowl down.
All right, I'm gonna be back when all of you grow the hell up. How dare you?
He's gotta wipe the inside of the bowl down, huh?
No. You're the one that's laughing.
I'm not laughing, I'm disgusted.
If you're laughing, Henry...
Don't, I'm not laughing, I swear. Don Berman is with us. Don, how are you?
I'm doing well, Phil, thank you.
I apologize, Don. We've got a lot of things going on here.
What you have going on there is a crew of individuals, I think, that act a little bit more adult in this situation, and I think it is a very... a dire situation there in Nairobi. You have these gunmen. They've taken hostages. Dozens of people are dead. I'm listening to a young lady who is reporting or trying to report. I think it's a very tragic situation, but I don't want to comment directly on this situation because of the lives that have been lost. I do want to comment, though, on the professionalism of any broadcaster or any reporter in a situation where you're covering gunfire, where you're covering violence, where you're covering an active scene where there may be a firefight or there might be explosions or so on and so forth. I think this is where a reporter is tested. Some reporters are tested. I think, Phil, that I had my baptism of fire. I think all reporters have their baptism of fire, and you live with it for the rest of your life. You'll live with it. This young lady for the BBC, I'm not going to comment on her. I don't want to comment on anything going on there. I will say this. If you're going to be a reporter, then you've got to get out there and get that story, even if it means you lose your life. Now, you know the stories, I know the stories, I put myself in harm's way, and it's the least that I would expect of any colleague.
Well, again, so we probably shouldn't even have brought up this situation, because it's very fluid.
No, I don't want to bring, but I am saying this. When I listen to a fellow broadcaster, and I remember back when I was covering the Las Vegas, it was not Las Vegas, it was Reno, there was an extortion attempt on a Reno casino. And a man had somehow secreted a bomb inside of this casino in Reno, Nevada. And I was there. I was on scene. And in fact, I did do a news feature at that time for the local Reno television station called Don Berman On Scene. And I watched as that hotel blew up right in front of my eyes. And we were at a place where they had the press. Where they put us because they didn't want any, they said they didn't want any injuries, but I can assure you that I could very well have been injured because this was an explosion that could have sent debris right straight into our position. But it was then that I realized just how tenuous and how unsafe our profession is. So if you're a broadcaster and you cannot get yourself into that action, to get yourself right into that scene, even if it means that you may very well be gunned down and killed, then I say to you, with all due respect, get the hell out of my industry, get out of my profession, and let some people step in there that can do the job.
All right, those are some pretty challenging words there, Don. Your baptism of fire came in Reno when they blew up, the man blew up the building?
No, the authorities blew the building up because they couldn't find the bomb, and so they got the... permission of the building's owner, the casino owner, to go ahead and blow the building up.
Well, where were you guys were in the middle of this when it happened?
No, we had been moved down the street to a position where they said we were not at risk. But I'm here to tell you that was a big explosion, and had it been bigger, had I not, a lot of different things could have happened. I could have been killed.
But what I'm saying is, you were in a protected position.
Well, you can say it's a protected position, but what is protected when some maniac has planted a bomb in a building? I'm just telling you, I had my baptism of fire.
All right, Don Berman with us here from Channel 19 News, talking on the the news coverage that that field reporters do when they're in the middle of a very dangerous situation. Is it a gun battle? Is it a bomb that needs to be defused? Is it a war scene? Is it a combat situation? Are they in a theater of war? There's all kinds of... I think we all remember, or maybe some of us remember, my age, remember Arthur Kent as he stood on the rooftop of that building in Saudi Arabia reporting on the incoming Scuds from Iraq. Even as people were running for cover, there he was standing out in the open waving that gas mask trying to get the attention of the network news desk in New York so that he could go live. Even as Scuds were exploding behind him. So that kind of earned him the nickname of the Scud Stud. And people like that, Christiane Amanpour and others. So we're going to get back to talking to Don Berman about this. Our number, 855-500-7445. Don's been there and done that, and he says that this new generation of reporters, they just don't understand that, you know, you have to, you got to stick your face right out in the middle of that. You got to risk your life to get the story. Otherwise, get, as he said, get the hell out of his profession. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. You can watch our live-streaming video cast of the show right now with a backstage pass. And, of course, 5,000 hours of audio. It's all there, baby. It's all there. It's all happening at the zoo. philhenryshow.com. Welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show. I apologize for that brief bit of briefness. We're just looking here to see what the situation is. The mall siege is, quote, over, but the death toll is unclear. The Kenyan president was on television saying that the these militants had been defeated as Kenya began 3 days of mourning on Wednesday for at least 67 people killed in the siege of a Nairobi mall. It was unclear how many more hostages may have died with the Somali Islamist attacks buried, attackers rather buried in the rubble. We got Don Berman on the line with us. We're not really talking too much about the specifics of that story because it's just not, it's not something that we're equipped to do or prepared to do, but we are talking about something that has to do with the reporting of these events, and that is the on-scene reporters. We just heard one from the BBC. You're not criticizing her, are you?
I don't want to criticize anyone actively working that particular story, Phil, but let's take, for instance, the Scud Stud that you were talking about, Arthur Kent, who, you repeated the story, and people thought that he was a very brave man. Well, had I been there, and I'm just saying what I would have done, and I think what other professionals would have done, I would have gotten off of that roof, and I would have gotten into a Jeep, and I would have gone as close as I could to where those impact craters were from those Scuds. And the reason I would have done that is that's where the story is. Now, the chances that those Scuds are going to hit in the same place twice are very, very low. You can go to the usual, lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place.
Can I just mention something?
All right, but I want to finish the point if I could.
Go ahead.
So I would get into a Jeep, find one of the Saudi Arabian assistants that they obviously have assigned to you and tell him, I want a Jeep and I want to go to exactly where that Scud just blew up. Because that's where the story is. That's where the casualties may be, God forbid, but that's where they may be. That's where the destruction is. That's where the Scud landed. It didn't land on the rooftop where Arthur Kent is standing waving his little mask.
Well, you're not putting down what the guy did, are you? I mean, a lot of people, a lot of professionals...
I'm not putting it down, but I'm not saying that he was any kind of a big hero, to use the colloquial pronunciation. There are heroes, and there are heroes. And I think when we say the word hero, we're talking about a guy that sort of pumped up a little bit. Maybe he even did his own press on that. I don't know.
All right, so he didn't do anything that heroic. I'm just saying the commentary from the network, you know.
Well, the network is going to say he was a hero because the network has an investment in him, and obviously they want to make Arthur Kent. I'm not putting down Arthur Kent. It was a fine job, but Were, had I been there and had I been granted the permission that I was asking for, that was 22 years ago, and I was working for a television station in Fresno, California, but I said I would travel at my own expense to Saudi Arabia, and I said, I don't care how I've got to get there. I'll go by way of a merchant marine ship. I even offered to stow away. I mean, that's how bad I wanted to get over there. And then they said, no, we'll buy you a plane ticket. And I said, that's what I'm talking about. They wanted to buy me a first-class plane ticket. I said, that's not reporting. And I said, it's not going to happen.
Wait, you refused to go to
but listen to me for a minute, Phil, before you start, jumping to conclusions. I didn't go to Saudi Arabia to do the job over there that I could have done way better than Arthur Kent or any of those guys because they wanted to fly me first class. Do you understand?
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? Jesus. Boy, that almost hurts. What's wrong with it is that it is not the way a reporter that is about to get his head blown from his shoulders, that is not what you want to do. That's not the kind of toughening that you need when you're going into a story like that. So
you're telling me that you wanted to take a merchant marine ship?
I don't know. I said that I told the television station, I said I'd like to go by way of a naval vessel or some kind of a troop transport like that, or if you're going to fly me, I want to fly in a troop transport plane where there is no pressurized, there's a pressurized cabin, obviously, but, you're not necessarily being buffeted from the turbulence. There's a whole lot of throwing up that goes on in those planes. I said, that's what I want. That's what I need. I got to have that. If I'm to be a reporter.
Talking to Don Berman here, folks, it's a very interesting. He's giving us his experience as a reporter, reporting on these highly volatile situations, reporting on scenes of violence, war zones. You were there when they blew up. This was a guy that blew up the. I'm sorry if I'm getting this wrong again, Don.
No. I'm sorry, I told you though, but. No, the authorities blew the casino up when they couldn't find the bomb, and that's when I asked them. As we all did, I said, "Well, I got to get out of here, and I've got to. It's on you to make sure we're safe." I was nervous, but I nonetheless, I was in a very dangerous situation, Phil. Okay, so
I understand that.
So I said to them, and that's when they put us a few blocks away at another hotel, and we watched as this explosion occurred. And I, excuse me for saying this, but I almost. Blanked, when I saw this thing go off, because I could well see shrapnel or debris from this thing blowing through the window that I was standing in front of, and the next thing I've got a shard of glass that's gone right straight through my skull or something. It was very horrible.
God, I'm glad that didn't happen. But you're basically talking here, Don, about these instances. Now, you were also... You were not in Saudi Arabia at the beginning of the Gulf War, but you wanted to go.
Yes, I asked the television station to allow me to go by way of some kind of a naval vessel, so I had the oil and the grease of the sea on me. When I got off that boat in the Middle East, I wanted to get off that boat wearing the khaki pants. I wanted to have my recorder slung over my shoulder. I wanted to have that pack of cigarettes. In other words, I'm a reporter. All right? I'm not a... I can't use the word. It starts with a P and it ends with a Y, and it rhymes with wussy.
I understand.
Yeah, that's not me. So when they said, no, we're going to fly you, I said, well, then you can forget it because I'm not going. It's as simple as that.
But what you're saying is, had you been in Saudi Arabia when those Scuds landed... You would have gone right to where the Scud exploded.
That's why that guy, Arthur Kent, and the rest of these guys don't impress me at all. And that's why I said I'd go, let's take the Iraq War. These so-called embedded journalists, those are fine. They're good, and okay, good for you. You got a helmet, and you look like a soldier, and you're walking, and not for me. And I think the soldiers over there understand there are reporters, and then there are reporters. And I think the soldiers over there would have seen Don Berman, and they would have said, now, this is a guy that, if I need to, I can give my weapon to him, and he can cover me, because I feel...
You're talking about a combatant...
I know that, but I just feel that I have that kind of respect.
All right. Don Berman is with us here from Channel 19 News. 855-500-7445 is the number here as we talk with Don about what it takes to be a reporter in a war zone. What it takes to be a reporter in a crazy place like that, man, where there is violence, where there are people dying, where other reporters have died. And I can tell you, a lot of you guys are not old enough. We've seen things on the news here in this country that have been horrific. I actually saw a journalist for ABC, Bill Stewart, get shot and killed on screen, on camera, in Central America during the Nicaraguan revolution. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. Welcome to the Phil Henry Show. We're back here. We have Don Berman on the line with us from Channel 19 News, and we're talking with Don about the reporting of news stories, violent news stories, news stories where a reporter is thrown into the fray, where a reporter is having to, he's having to deal with not just reporting the story, but the environment that he's in is a violent environment. And Don, you were at the this explosion in Reno, Nevada. You were at you were not in Saudi Arabia, but you. You. It sounds to me like you're saying you knew what you would do.
Yeah, well, I did. I knew that I would go had I been there. To me, Arthur Kent, good reporter, but you've got to have the guts to go to where the explosion is. And you have to have the guts, like in the Iraq War, to go right where as we used to say in the newsroom, where are the heads rolling? Because they were literally, literally rolling in that war. And that is a sad thing to say, but there were people getting their heads cut off. And I would say, you got to go wherever those heads are. And that would be where the heads are,
So, in other words, literally.
Yes, literally. Where is that violence taking place?
All right, our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And you're on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Okay. I heard your guest speaking of an explosion in Reno at a casino. I've lived in the area for quite a long time, and one thing I believe is that reporters should have their facts straight and such. I know of no such explosion in Reno. I know in Lake Tahoe at Harvey's Casino in the 1980s there was an explosion.
Well, that was a man who placed a bomb there.
In Lake Tahoe?
Yes.
I heard earlier you're saying it was Reno.
I don't understand why you're making a big deal out of that.
Well, the man is saying you should know where you're in Reno or Lake Tahoe.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Okay.
And not only that.
So you got me.
May I speak?
The
bomb was located. It was determined to be so sophisticated at the time. It was booby-trapped and such. They knew where it was at. They sandbagged the bomb. They isolated the bomb.
Right.
They got all the people away from it and everything, and then they did detonate it, as your guest says. But if he was there, he should know the difference between Lake Tahoe. They're, 90 miles apart or so?
I'm saying the point is that I was there, and that bomb went off.
You don't know Lake Tahoe from Reno? You were there?
No, what I'm saying is, sir, as I said to Mr. Henry and I said to his audience, that bomb went off, and the shrapnel from that bomb could have killed me.
Were you in Reno or Lake Tahoe where the bomb went off?
The gentleman is saying that the story, and I'm looking at the story.
Validity, sir.
I'm looking at the story here.
Very big talk. No. I just question your validity.
I was in whatever you call it.
What was the name of the casino?
It was Harrah's.
Harrah's?
Yes, sir.
No, sir, it was Harvey's. Harvey's in Lake Tahoe.
The what?
Blown up. Not Harrah's.
You know, this is what I... all right, fine.
I was at Lake Tahoe. Were you there?
Were you where? I've covered these stories,
sir.
Yeah, I've covered the stories. You haven't. So have a nice time.
Obviously you did. You got it all mixed up,
have
sir.
Have a nice time,
I think
sir.
You better get your facts straight. You're a reporter.
Have a nice time delivering your ice cream tomorrow.
You take care. Get your facts straight
and
next time.
Make sure the music machine works on your ice cream truck.
What a smart ass.
Who is?
You!
I am. I'm the... I happen to be the guest on this program, and what I'm trying to say to you, Phil, if you'll let me just finish.
But no, but the comment about the make sure the music machine works on your ice cream truck, that man, because I looked the story up, it was in Lake Tahoe.
It was in Lake Tahoe. All right, it was in Lake Tahoe. Why on earth would that keep you and keep your listeners from understanding that I was there? I saw a building blow up. I don't know if it was called Harvey's, and I have to be honest with you when I tell you this right now, and I'm sure there are people listening right now who seriously question that man's grasp of facts. There is a Harrah's Casino. I think we've all heard of it. Harvey's?
Well, look, I don't know. There's all kinds of casinos. There's all kinds of businesses, both large and small, in the state of Nevada where gambling is legal. They're not all the large enterprises and concerns that we've heard of. They're not all the Harrah's and the whatever, the Caesar's Palaces. I don't know how many of these different casinos are in more than one city, you know, almost like a franchise. But the fact is, that man had the city right, because I just looked this up.
You're looking on Wikipedia, and you, of all people, should know.
Well, all right, I'll look on something other than Wikipedia, if that makes you happy, but it was in Lake Tahoe.
All right, it was in Lake Tahoe. I don't think that's as important as for you to know that I was there, and I was in direct proximity to an explosion. See, this is the part that gets me. I know
that you were in direct proximity to an explosion. I know that there was a violent explosion. I know that the authorities blew that bomb up, and I get all of that. I don't see how that's the same as being in a war zone.
Well, I'm sorry?
I said I don't see how that's the same as being in a war zone.
When
you're sitting behind a barricade that the police put you behind, and they've told you we're going to blow a building up, and you said to me that you requested a place to be that's safe.
I said to a cop that was standing there, who looked like he didn't have a lot to do, I said, well, why don't you tell me where I can go so I don't get blown to bits? And
no, so now you're putting it on this cop. I'm just telling you, it doesn't sound like a fluid and unpredictable a scene of chaos, violence, and war when there are cops telling you where to be safe as they blow a building up. That's a controlled demolition.
Well, you're using a lot of the big words, Phil, but you're not using the right words.
What does that mean?
Just what I said. You're using all the big words, but you're using the words, but are they the right words? You're saying controlled demolition. And, okay, good for you. You heard that on, I don't know, Lieutenant Kenda on Investigation Discovery or something.
No, I've heard it over the years as something that people say who are in the demolition business, controlled demolition.
Well, this was an explosion that could have killed me and anyone.
So your essential criticism, though, is that reporters today don't have the guts that you had.
That is exactly, if I can jump in, because I want to take Don's side on this. I'm really...
Thank you, Margaret.
Yes, I really think you're missing something, Phil. You're not a newsman. I am. I'm a newswoman. And Don's a newsman. We're in the news business. And when you are told to go to a scene, and there's gunfire, there are explosions, there are, God forbid, body parts, and you're told to go right into the middle of that and get an interview, yes, even with someone that may be dying. I did that once. I went right into the middle of what had been an explosion. It blew everything. I'm sorry.
It blew?
I'm a little bit nervous.
Why are you nervous? You're the one that got the panel job. I was up, well, I better not say.
Yeah, let's not get into how you didn't get the job. How you didn't get the job on the show, okay?
Listen to you. All right.
God, Mr. Henry, that's not very professional.
Get a load of you telling me what professional is.
Phil, can we just stick to the point? I walked into the middle of an explosion that I could have been in the middle of, and they told me, get in there and see what you can see.
Now, how long after the explosion?
I beg your pardon?
How long after the explosion?
I'm not answering his question. So I was there.
Well, that's a good question. How long after the explosion?
Yeah, I'd like to know, too.
And I jumped into this fray to defend you.
No, how long after the explosion did you go into the middle of the exploded area, or the blewed-up area, whatever you said?
I don't have to take this. Excuse me.
Margaret, you were in the middle of a story here.
I don't have to take it.
I suspect, Phil, that she was in the middle of that explosion, or that place that had exploded, about a week after it had exploded.
No, hold on. I'm getting... No, yes, it was several days. It wasn't a week.
All right, are you getting up and leaving? Yeah, there she goes.
Yes, I am.
She comes in, throws her hand grenade, and then she leaves.
Hold on, I resent... You're talking about an explosive. I resent...
Margaret, you can't keep walking in and out of here, okay?
No, that's okay. I was married to a broad.
A broad?
Just stay out of here.
Phil, I'm telling you that I'm not criticizing anybody's work, but I am telling you that I had the guts. I had the guts to watch that building get blown up, and I had the guts to want to go to Saudi Arabia, and I didn't want to go on an airplane, and I had the gut. I realize it probably now as I say it out in the open, it didn't take that much in the way of guts.
No, it didn't. No, you're talking about people...
Well, hold on for a minute. You're going to start calling me a P-U-S...
No, I'm not saying that either, but I'm saying that if you're telling me that today's reporters don't have the guts in a war zone or in a... I've seen all kinds of reporting that's being done now. With the Internet, there are all kinds of young... freelance journalists, videographers, they're out there, they're doing some crazy-ass stuff, man. I mean, those kids that I talked to a few years ago, they were going between the Israeli side in Lebanon and Hezbollah. They were literally on a motorcycle. These are Americans. These are two 19, 20, 21-year-old American videographers and journalists going between the Israeli military positions and Hezbollah, getting interviews with both sides, doing this on a motorcycle, not even a motorcycle, on... What was that, Bud?
Yeah, it looked like the deer's on a moped or something.
No, I'm not going to be on a moped.
On a moped? Don't make me laugh. You're telling me that Hezbollah is going to see a couple of pasty white boys pull up on a moped and they're going to give them much respect? I doubt it.
What do you mean, much respect? What are you talking about?
Well, have you ever heard of a Harley Davidson? Thank you.
You're not going to get a Harley Davidson. First of all, Harley Davidson is not exactly, a common sight in the war-torn streets of Lebanon or wherever the hell they were.
Well, I tell you, first of all, Lebanon's not that war-torn anymore. It's just the place where the Israelis are. Secondly, what do you mean, how are you going to get a Harley over there? You crate it up and you ship it.
So I'm going to crate up a Harley and take it over to Lebanon so I'm taken more seriously by Hezbollah?
Well, you're not going to pull up in a moped. And you're going to look like some sissy boy. Man, I tell you, they look at that. They might as well just blow you right off of that thing with an RPG. I would. If I were a terrorist with a sheet wrapped around my head or whatever they do, and I saw you, Henry, or me, I saw a replica of myself, only lighter skin, pull up, I would...
Okay, I got to put him on hold because he's losing it again. Don Berman with us from Channel 19 News.
May I come back in?
Yeah, come on in. Margaret, you can't get up and leave in the middle of a segment, though.
I apologize. I just don't... When you guys said that... I forget what you said, but it really pissed me off.
We'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. Our number, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. More with Don Berman and the reporting on these... Crazy stories, baby. Crazy, baby. Crazy. Then we get into some politics, some Obamacare and shutting down the government. It'll be real good. It'll be fun. Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Don Berman with us here as we talk in the final few seconds about people and places and things in the news business. You got to be everywhere, man. And sometimes the places you got to be are very dangerous and they are frightening. And I was mentioning, because I met these kids from the States, two guys that had, I mean, excuse me for saying, but...
Balls of brass?
Well, I didn't want to come right out and say that.
That's very vulgar.
But they were made out of brass. These guys were amazing. And they were. They were, going between the Israeli military positions in southern Lebanon and Hezbollah's, and they were going back and forth interviewing, and they were meeting some heavy hitters on the Hezbollah side. I mean, guys that could just as soon, I don't know, snap their fingers and have these, And that whole line, Don, I'm sorry, where heads roll...
You may not like it, Phil, but that was exactly what I and a great many journalists like me We refused to go to Iraq because we wanted to go right where... And I said to Don Tenninger, who was my evening editor at the time, here at Channel 19, I said, Don, I want to go where the heads roll. And he was going, ha, ha, ha. And I said, no, I mean wherever they are... excuse me for saying this, wherever they're decapitating people. And he looked at me, and it was then that I knew that I had some respect in this business, because he said, Don, do you understand what you're saying? I said, yes, I do.
Well, did they send you?
No, they did not send me, and I was angry. I was very, very angry. When they said, no, we're not going to send you there, we want you to go. They wanted me to go to the Green Zone in Baghdad, and I said, forget it. I'm not going to the Green Zone in Baghdad, where every PU, well, you know the word, that's where every sissy, every gutless wonder, every guy that's got a big, wide, yellow stripe painted down the middle of his back, that's where all of those guys go, to the Green Zone. And you can sit in the Green Zone, and you can thumb it, and you can play mumbly peg, and you can twirl, you know...
Okay, I think, that, you know, that's really disrespectful to your fellow correspondents, isn't it?
What do you mean, my fellow correspondents? These guys are sitting in the Green Zone, and they're eating Milk Duds, and they're drinking Cokes, and they're playing foosball, and they go outside, and they get a tan, and you ought to see it. I mean, it was back in the day, when the U.S. forces were there in the Green Zone, it was like Hurricane Harbor. It was unbelievable.
We're talking about a war zone now.
Yes, I know, a war zone, but in the Green Zone, you'd have sworn you were in downtown Disney. As God is my witness, they had every kind of convenience. I talked to a guy by the name of Bill Stan who wanted to bring in, get this, Phil, a House of Blues.
Get out of here, House of Blues!
I swear to God.
Well, Don, this is Margaret, and you can swear all you want. The facts are these. You didn't go... And you didn't go because you say they didn't send you where the heads roll.
I said, do you want to know what I said to John Jeffrey?
I think you didn't have the courage.
So you finally got it said, huh?
Well, now...
No, hold on, Phil. You finally got it said, huh?
That's right. I don't think you had the guts. I think you were afraid.
You know something, Margaret? You leave your...
But what's wrong with you?
I can't believe it, but I started to cry.
Well, Dawn, she's calling you gutless, that you the things that you've done haven't been all that dangerous, is what she's saying.
You know, Margaret, if you want to know how gutless I am, you leave the back door to your house unlocked tonight.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but you hesitated, because I can hear the wheels turning. How do I get Frank out of the bedroom? How do I get Frank...
I hung up on him.
Thank you very much. And Don, if you're listening, and I know you are, you know something? Words fail me.
That was a pretty vile and vulgar thing to say, Don. If you want to know how many guts I've got, just leave your back door unlocked tonight.
Yeah, you guys are laughing, though.
Why are you laughing, Phil?
I'm sorry.
No, I don't think you are sorry. I think you think it's funny that Don's going to creepy crawl. I don't have to sit still for this.
Sorry.
But yeah, you're laughing all everything like that.
I know I'm laughing.
Don Berman wanted to creepy crawl me.
Yes, he did. Don Berman was going to go creepy crawl Margaret, man.
Don Berman going to go creepy... God, you sound all jacked up and everything.
Yeah, but you sound like you got a cocaine problem.
Oh, will you guys shut up? Okay, if I pointed out every kind of neurological malady you guys sound like you have, I'd be here all day and all night. It would never end. I'd need a physician's desk reference.
What? What'd you say?
A physician's desk reference. All right, our hats are off to every journalist, wherever he, she, it is. You all do yeoman's work. Whatever a yeoman is, I have no idea. It sounds like something nautical, but I say it because I've heard other people say it.
A yeoman, Phil, is a man who is the salt of the earth. He's someone that can be relied upon. A yeoman...
There are guys say yeoman.
Oh, stop, will you?
See, this is why I don't...
Just knock it off.
A yeoman is a kinsman. He's Aryan.
Get out of here, will you?
That's what I thought, anyway.
All right, so our hats are off to all of those fine people. Anyway, It is the Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Don Berman. It was going well. It was going very well until that whole thing about how you're going to creepy crawl Margaret.
Don Berman on the line if you want to talk.
What?
Don, he's on the line if you want to talk.
But let me say something. If you have something to say to me, say it like you speak English. Don't go ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, I always tell him that, man. He never does.
No, you don't.
Yeah, he does. I've heard him say it. Don't go ding, 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 ding. There's people listening. I got a show to do. What do you want? What? Don's on the line?
Yeah.
What's up, Don?
I didn't creepy crawl anyone. I absolutely resent that. If you want me to be graphic, Barbara, I will. I wasn't going to creepy... Are you talking about the Manson family?
Yes, the way the Mansons creepy crawled people.
No, I'm not creepy crawling you. I got way better things to do than to creepy crawl your ass.
I hope Don Berman dies painfully, and I hope you long remember these days that we shared together here.
I will. I'm not going to creepy crawl your ass. All right, we're coming back here, sports fans. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Lots of other news. We've got some political news to get to that we have not gotten to, and I want to get to it because, it's got to be gotted to. We have a government that's going to get shut down. We have a president that everybody thinks is the worst thing since James Buchanan. We got a bunch of brain surgeons that think they know how to do it better, which they probably don't. And we'll be back with all of it here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Woo!